Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
Oh, it's another edition of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die.
All right, we are back. Hello, Young Nose Johnson.
Well, how's it going over there, Tiny?
It's going pretty good. We are doing this podcast a day later than we planned to.
Yeah, that's okay.
Because of the snow.
Yeah, we had a little freak snowstorm, which didn't turn out bad, but still not worth risking it.
Yeah, and then I just heard the microphone try and cut out on us, and I don't understand that, but I'm going to get this off my lap and over here, because that's how we ended the last podcast, where all of a sudden we were just not there.
We were on the plug out, and then we just dropped out.
I was just like, we were supposed to be, and it was just gone like that. Well, you heard the ad for Lee W. Sinclair, a very delicious bourbon, and also that was Alan Bishop reading the promotion for that delicious bourbon, and they are the Spirit of French Lick, which is Alan Bishop and Joe Lee Kazberzak. They are our official sponsors of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys right now. We have a couple sponsorships still available, but it's like you can only be the first sponsor once. You know, we had unofficial sponsors that we'll get to later on in the broadcast, but this is a legitimate real sponsor, and that's why we like to do the ad, but then we also like to do a little of the reading. I like to practice to see how much better I can get each week. So, one of the few artesian distilleries equipped with a grain mill on site, complete with a seed cleaner to help produce a pure spirit, free from offending flavors. The Lee Sinclair, a 4-grain bourbon with a mash of corn, wheat, oats, barley, is the flagship product. It's a powerful testimony to the historic Sinclair, once a prominent French Lick businessman, responsible for making the West Baden Springs Hotel dome the architectural feat it is. So, cheers to Lee Sinclair, a very prominent person in history of French Lick and West Baden. And so that gets us through that. And I think I'm getting better, wouldn't you say there, Young Nose?
Yeah, definitely. Getting a little bit more comfortable reading through there. A little bit more energetic also.
With my glasses. Well, that really helped.
I need my glasses every day.
Yeah, but to read those fine prints now, it was getting to the point where I was half guessing what I was reading, and that just was not working for the podcast, so yeah. I was able to do that.
Well, cheers to Spirits of French Lick, Alan Bishop, and Julie Kazberzak for making some delicious stuff out there. Not just bourbons, but all kinds of spirits.
And just a little thing, I know I'm going to be getting, Jolie is going to be sending up some samples for us to taste. And then in April... April, we are headed down to Kentucky, and we will be stopping by the distillery to do a podcast, I believe, Thursday morning, April 20. I want to say 2nd, because Wednesday the 21st is when I'm leaving. So we, Roxy, myself, and Super Nash will be there.
Down to Bardstown?
No, we're going to be down in Bardstown, and then Thursday morning we're going to leave early, get to drive up through Louisville into Indiana. It's about an hour, 50-minute, hour, 45-minute drive. Get there right around 10 o'clock, have them meet Roxy and Super Nash, and then also whip out a podcast.
Sounds like an awesome time.
It is an awesome time. The distillery is a pretty cool place. Alan has set up his little den of distilling, and it's a really cool place.
Well, one of these times I will definitely make my appearance out there. I would definitely love to meet Alan and Julie and just go see the distillery and the grounds and everything. I was actually talking to my wife. We are planning a trip to Cincinnati also. We're going to be heading down there probably in May.
Okay.
Is probably where we're going to be heading with that. And then going to check out a couple distilleries down there. And we are also going to be doing an indoor skydiving.
Well, that's cool. That's really cool. I know I've seen those before.
Yeah.
But it's the Sycamore, which Shea Pridemore comes from. He comes from that distillery down in Cincinnati.
Okay.
But then right across the border, which is still in Ohio. It's like the parking lot's in Ohio, and the distillery's in Kentucky is the New Riff distillery. So that is a...
Okay.
That's a place to go. As far as a distillery, so you got some really cool distilleries right down there within a really close driving distance of Cincinnati. Yeah. So you'll have fun.
Oh yeah, it'll definitely be a blast. But I will be joining you for the April, just not with the whole
that trip. Thursday.
I'll still be there
Friday after, or hopefully after. Saturday. Hopefully you can get there Friday afternoon to get into this Dant distillery, Wally Dant, that's going to be after the limestone. The log.
We'll get into that
a little bit later when we're into it, which is a really cool thing. And then we're just going to have a good time when we're there in April. There's more news about what we're going to be doing there, but we can't say what we're going to be doing there yet completely. Have not got the go, but we know we're going to do it. It's a teaser.
We just want to tell everybody.
So
anyway, with that said, before we actually get into the meat and potatoes here, let's go through our weekly checklist.
Our checklist of where we're at. I mean, because we're everywhere. We can't really add too many more places to be because everywhere I can think we can be, but you've got that covered. So let's go from there.
So first and foremost, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys has their own website. You can check us out there at www.scotchybourbonboys.com.
Booyah!
Booyah! From there, you could check out pretty much anywhere that we're at. There's links up to our Facebook page or in the group. We are all over Facebook, as you know. They are also on Instagram and Twitter, the big ones there. We're on there, active, present. Please like us, subscribe, follow us. And I'm not sure what the Twitter one is. Is that follow also?
Yeah, you follow on Twitter at Scotchy the at Scotchy the.
I don't really maintain the Twitter one, so I'm not.
Lately, I'm not happy with Twitter. There's a lot of stuff that's happened that I'm not happy with. They don't do anything, so I really haven't been pushing the Twitter. We've been pushing all the other venues and apps.
Oh, cut out there. I heard that.
Yeah.
What's going on with the
techiness? I'm trying. I'm hoping that doesn't. Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, so continuing onward, we are all over podcasts. If you listen to podcasts, enjoy your podcast, please subscribe to what you hear so you don't miss any new content that gets thrown out there. I know Tiny has been doing some solo podcasting, little rants here and there. We call those the Tiny Talks.
Exactly. The last one that dropped was based off the Whiskey Snob. Ooh. And listen to that. That's worth it.
The Whiskey Snob. That's the title alone just makes you go, I want to know about that.
Yeah, because there's all different types of whiskey snobs, and I cover what to do with a whiskey snob, because there's different ways you can handle what happens, yeah, especially with a whiskey snob. So I've got it. I've got that covered.
That is true. But yeah, I mean, different people react different ways. So one more thing is if you're on the Scotchy Bourbon Boys website, please check out the Scotchy blog. We do a monthly blog. Actually, I write those out myself here, Young Nose. And
because Tiny can't write.
Is the February one up?
It's not up, but it's going to be up very soon.
Okay, because I re-emailed the PDF version to Roxy.
And I gave her the other version yesterday. Okay. I would say that it's going to be getting up in the next couple days, okay, depending on what her work schedule is.
Okay, good to know. So please check that out. It's a lot of interesting stuff. I like to try to incorporate some humor into my writing. anywhere you can get podcasts, we're all over. Again, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Pandora, TuneIn, Alexa, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, Podcast Casts, Podcast Inbox, and
FM. Yeah, you almost said it again. Yes, yeah, that's just not good. The TuneIn Alexa is cool, because if you have Alexa and you just ask it to play the podcast, it will play the current or take you to the podcast area, all just by asking. My daughter thinks it's the coolest thing. I was over at her house this weekend, and she's telling her soulmate, Justin, she's like, watch this. And she's like, Alexa, play the newest episode of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And bam, there it was, that last week's episode. So it's really, awesome. Really kind of a cool thing. So if you got that, check that out, because you don't have to do anything more than ask.
I'll have to try that when I'm at my mother-in-law's house the next time, because she has a Google Home.
Yeah, it feels very, yeah, it'll work. Yep. Yes, it'll work. So that brings us to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys group that we have formed. The main place that we formed this group was in person here in Canton, Ohio. We've got a group of 9, I think we went to 10 official members. And that was kind of cool. So we do meetings. We're probably going to be meeting sometime in March once I find out what my March schedule is, because February kind of went by the wayside.
Do you need some water
yet? Yes, please give me some water in the glass that I had the 1792 12 year. Thank you. That was our pre-drink today. But also the Scotchy Bourbon Boys group, which keeps growing and growing. We are 332 members strong, along with 7 new members this week that we want to highlight and congratulate for becoming Scotchy Bourbon Boys. There's Crystal Bast, Stephen J. Hall Jr., Leanne Herring, Scott Wilson, Daniel Z. Sanchez, and Jeremy Shell. So thank you for joining the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Love to have you part of the group. Hopefully you'll participate. I noticed that Scott Wilson is already posting in the group. Keep posting, talking about all that we're going to do. So there you go with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys group.
Welcome, new members. Glad to have you here on the Scotchy Bourbon Boys group. Cheers, everybody.
Yep. Cheers. So that brings us to what we're going to be doing today. I think so. Correct?
I believe so. Yeah.
I mean, we've done all the other stuff. say hi to... you can find us also on YouTube. This podcast at the moment is being recorded to go to YouTube. And then also the Patreon account that we have set up that you can get to from our website, or go to Patreon, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, where you can support us. And for as little as $3 a month, you get a posting chip, and you can win prizes with that posting chip. Or, you know, $10 and $15, $25, you get, yep, T-shirts, posting chips. There's a ton of swag. You get the can get the Glencairn Scotchy Bourbon Boys Glencairn, and then that we'll be tasting out of today. And so those are just different ways to support us. And but getting to our main topic today, we have a very special member of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. That's Stephen Beam. And Stephen Beam is the master distiller, along with his brother,
Paul Beam.
Yep. They run the Limestone Branch Distillery. Now, Young Nose is going to get into the history of what and how this all went about, because Paul and Stephen are descendants of the J.W. Dant family and the Jim Beam family. So they've got both families in, you know,
in other words, they're the ultimate distiller.
Yeah. And now they run the Limestone Branch Distillery. But the tie-in between J.W. Dant in the 1800s and how the Yellowstone line runs and how it ended up back into Limestone Branch and the Beams distilling it is really kind of an amazing story, and Young Nose will kind of get that to you.
Oh yeah, so there is all kinds of information here. We've got information from Limestone Branch's website, we have information from Wikipedia, as well as an article from bourbonveach.com. So thank you to all of those sources for tonight's information. So we're going to start off with the Yellowstone Bourbon brand. That would be a good starting point. So this is coming from bourbonveach.com. The Yellowstone Bourbon was first bottled in 1872 by J.B. Dant at his Cold Springs Distillery near Gethsemane, Kentucky. J.B. Dant was the son of J.W. Dant, one of the many sons of J.W. that entered into the distilling industry. J.B. Dant built his Cold Springs Distillery in 1854, and by 1865, the firm of D.H. Taylor & Company of Louisville had become the main customer. Dant's whiskey had a great reputation, and D.H. Taylor was selling it in markets across America. The story told is that D.H. Taylor & Company salesman Charles Townsend, while traveling out west, did an informal poll of his customers, and they thought a brand of bourbon named for the newly opened Yellowstone National Park would be a brand that people out west would purchase. It was decided to have some of Dant's bourbon branded as Yellowstone, and it was a great success. In 1876, John T. Williams joined Taylor, and they formed a new company named Taylor & Williams. Their main office was located at 27 3rd Street between Main and Water, in the heart of Louisville, or Whiskey Row. Their flagship brand was Yellowstone Bourbon, but also sold Honeydew and Rich Hill whiskeys, all made for them by J.B. Dant in Gethsemane. By 1882, they had grown and moved to a bigger facility on 3rd Street. J.T. Williams acquired the shares of the company from David H. Taylor when he retired in 1892, also, while bottling became economical for the distillers, the brand was bottled with a label featuring the waterfall at Yellowstone Park.
Which is on the label right here on this Yellowstone Select of the current bottle.
Alrighty. Williams retired and then sold the company to J.B. Dant in 1900 and then died a few years later in 1903. So in 1906, J.B. Dant once again moved the offices to a different part of Main Street, where it remained until Prohibition. So skipping to some other information there. So that gets into a lot of the history and the struggle in between Prohibition, but we're going to skip over to the information here from Wikipedia, because this one was the tie-in between the Beams and the Dance, which was actually really cool. So, Yellowstone Bourbon started by J.B. Dant and J.W. Dant or son of J.W. Dant, who teamed up with D.H. Taylor and J.T. Williams to found the Yellowstone Distillery and bottled the Yellowstone Bourbon brand in the 1880s. So by then, Glenmore bought the distillery in 1944 and operated it for several decades, which is now Diageo, bought out Glenmore in the early 1990s. It promptly shut down and sold off the Ezra Brooks and Yellowstone brands to the David Sherman Company, who would produce both brands. They didn't completely die it off. They just continued distilling it just through a different company.
Basically. Right, right.
Later, Sherman reapproached Heaven Hill about distilling the bourbon whiskey and aging it in Kentucky warehouses. It was then shipped to St. Louis in oak barrels where it was bottled and distributed. In 2006, the David Sherman Company rebranded itself to Lux Co. as a tribute to one of its co-founders, Paul Lux, and as a reflection of the current ownership of the company. In 2010, Paul and Steve Beam, descendants of both J.W. Dant and the legendary Beam family, founded Limestone Branch Distillery with the intention of crafting only the finest whiskey and the dream of restoring the Yellowstone brand to its former glory. In the spring of 2015, that dream came true when they partnered with Lux Co. to bring the Yellowstone brand back to the family, distilled and aged in Kentucky and bottled in historic Lebanon, Kentucky.
That brings us to the current Stephen Beam, who, when we were there last, I believe September, when we were there in September, we were able to go down, and he was on a Saturday morning. We've got the bottle right here. It was the Yellowstone limited edition. It has the Old Faithful on the label, and this limited edition hand selected by Stephen. This particular bottle was signed by Stephen. Stephen was at the distillery signing the bottles for us, and he gave us a tour. Stephen, being a Scotchy bourbon boy, was glad to meet us in person, and we kind of talked. Now, I've been talking to him now, and we are going to be going down in April. I'll be down there, and then Young Nose will be joining us for the afternoon. But in the morning, we are have booked to see Stephen. We're going to stop by. He's going to give us a tour. We're going to talk a lot about the whole history of what Limestone Branch, and also the sale of Lux Co. to MGP, or, you know, MGP purchasing Lux Co. and what that's going to mean for Limestone Branch. Lux Row Distillery is down the street from him. I mean, it's literally down the street. And Lux Row is producing now and distilling, I believe. When you look at the hand selected and the special Yellowstone releases are being produced at the Limestone Branch Distillery by Stephen. But the main Yellowstone brand, Yellowstone Select, which we have here today, the label says, distilled in Kentucky and aged in Kentucky and then bottled at the Limestone Branch Distillery. So I believe still there's a certain amount that's still aging at Heaven Hill while it's being distilled at the Lux Co. Distillery also. And there might be another place it's being distilled. We don't know. You don't exactly know. But at the same time, it's being bottled at the Limestone Branch Distillery and then distributed. And we've got tonight three very good pours. One is the Yellowstone Select, which is the, and we're going to go through what each one is and what it means, its pros and cons, and how everything works out in the bourbon industry. We like to usually go through as far as going into detail when we're tasting. We're going to barrel bash these, but we're also going to go into what's the pros and cons of, we have the Yellowstone Select, which is the straight bourbon that is being produced, a lot of barrels mixed together to keep a specific flavor profile. And then we've got the single barrel pick from the Liquor Barn, which is damn good. And we'll go into details. And then we have this special bottle of hand-selected Yellowstone. What is it actually called there, Young Notes? You've got the notes on it.
For which one? The limited edition?
Yes, limited edition. Yeah. Thank you, Yellowstone. We'll be tasting each one. I haven't tasted this limited. Oh, I have. Steven gave us a taste when we were there.
Yeah.
I find that sometimes when you're doing something and you're on whatever and it's early in the morning, sometimes maybe bourbon doesn't taste the same way it does when me and you are tasting. When me and you get together and whatever, we seem to our palates seem to open up.
It might taste better.
Yeah.
Like, do I have to the Sandy No Man Cave
episode? Oh my god.
The rigged little book.
So you've got a couple. Do you got anything else to add to this, or are we
I have one small little point of thought, because you had mentioned that some of it was still being distilled at Lux Co. Some of it might still be aging at Heaven Hill, which the aging at Heaven Hill might be true because they have, you know, massive amounts of warehouse space. But in Michael Veach's article here, it said the David Sherman Company, which became Lux Co. in 2006, but in 2015, Lux Co. purchased a share of the Limestone Branch Distillery. But part of the deal was that the Yellowstone brand would be given to Limestone Branch to produce. So based off of that, it makes it sound like Limestone Branch is actually distilling and producing the Yellowstone also.
We've both been there.
I know.
They produce 2 barrels a day. It's not it is not being produced at the Lime, not the Yellowstone Select is not be, it's produced in Kentucky.
Okay.
And they might, and Stephen may, that's one of the questions I asked, have some say so in the distilling process, maybe at Lexco. But I really believe Heaven Hill was distilling it for the most part until they opened up the Lexco distillery, which is only two years old. I mean, in 2019, I think it was just opened up, and we're in 2021. So I think that's when they started doing their distilling out of there, and they're probably distilling. But we will do the Stephen Beam podcast, and I'm sure Stephen will fill us in on anything that we need to, unless he has to, you know, keep government secrets or something. But
I think that would be a great idea, now that you actually say that, something about questions or whatever. But if we, like, obviously maybe not for this one, but the next time that we have like somebody coming on, either remotely or if we're doing an in-person podcast with somebody, like prime our listeners and like get some questions that the listeners want to have answered pre-set, and then have that person talk about it.
If you can figure that out and then implement it, feel fucking free there, Young Nose. Rock on. I think that would make our podcast phenomenal.
I think that would be really cool. Like a basically prime the group. So the podcast would probably go with the group and like get, you know, the idea is actually pretty cool. It'd be like kind of interactive to the podcast listener as well.
The only thing that would be wrong with that is we might get 2 people.
Hey,
you never know with these days.
The first time around, it might be 2 people, and then people realize what's going on. And they're like, hey.
Or maybe the first time it'll be like 75, 150, and then the next time it'll be 2, because you never can tell who the hell's going to listen. It's always a surprise to me.
That's true.
You know, sometimes we get 4,500 people on the Facebook Live that watch it. Other times we get 1,500, and other times it's 275, and there's no rhyme nor reason. So
this is very, very true. You gotta love social media.
But, yeah.
Hey, it'd be worth trying, right?
Yeah. Thank you for that little bit of extra thing, and then you got to work on that question thing. I could just imagine for questions, you have all the questions, and then you basically keep signing in as different people asking different questions. But they're all really Young Nose asking questions because he's curious.
So
great idea. All right. Anyways, so what do we got in our glass right now? We have the Limestone Branch Select. We're going to start out with that.
I do have some tasting notes for these.
Yes, go for it, because we're bashing them one at a time. In the glass, ooh, the Glencairn, we use Glencairn glasses with our Scotchy Bourbon Boys logo. Martin Duffy, the Glencairn North American glass representative, was able to hook us up on how to get these for us so that we can sell them on our website, offer them on our Patreon, and also taste out of them on our podcast. So the Scotchy Bourbon Boys Glencairn, if you're interested, go to the website, order one, or go to Patreon and support us. That brings us there. Now, tonight, I want to say that the Yellowstone bottle that we have right here, that particular bottle was sent up by Super Nash.
Super Nash!
We bought the bottle of the limited edition with Super Nash. Martin Nash, the AB Fire Extinguisher Services in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. He could take care of all your fire extinguisher needs. Contact Martin Nash if you are in that area. Definitely, if you have safety fire needs, Martin will be able to hook you up.
Absolutely.
Way to go, Super Nash.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Super Nash he's a really great guy. Intended on being here tonight also to join us on the podcast via remote, but wasn't able to join us, but we're still thinking of you, and cheers, brother.
Our prayers are with you. His son Caleb had a incident where he had to be hospitalized, but he's home and doing much better, and our thoughts and prayers are with you, Super Nash. So with that said, we have it. Let's hear some. I like what it does in my glass.
I like the nice golden color.
It is. The golden color runs back down into the golden sunshine.
Oh yeah.
The legs are sticky. They're a little thin, but they're long.
Oh yeah.
But it holds onto the glass nice. This is a nine.
Yeah, I could see the sticky like beads a little bit, but
now this is 93 proof with no age statement, so we're assuming it's at least 4 years old. Yep. That's usually what a bourbon like this. There might be some 5, 6, and 7 years. You never know, but at the same time, the age statement would have to have its youngest bourbon, and because it's not 2 or 3, it's 4. The youngest bourbon in here is 4. So let's give her a nose.
All right. So, which is very true. On their website, it depicts that the Yellowstone Select is a blend of 4 and 7 year old bourbons. So, with no age statement, the youngest would be 4. It is a small batch bourbon. You already mentioned 83 proof.
93.
Okay. Wifey must have wrote the wrong.
That's all right. It's only 10 off.
Only 10.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the nose is rye spice with soft leathered cherries. Now, I definitely get a nice fruity smell on this one. I get a lot more fruity on this one than I would the traditional caramel and vanilla.
And I get the rye spice. I do get the rye spice, and I get the cherries with a little bit of citrus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a nice little citrus pop.
Similar to, like, a lot of the rye spice is, like, you could tell this is similar to Jim Beam. That same rye spice, which is almost I attribute to peanuts. But peanuts. Very nice. Very nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Like that nose. Now, this bottle's been open for a little bit. It's a little hot. Hug. Ooh. Going down. But it's nice sweet.
Rye taste on the rebound,
but yeah, but it's sweet.
Yeah.
But this is sweet. Mm. A little bit of notes of chocolate on the finish to me. I got to figure out what honey. I get honey on the taste.
I get lots of vanilla up front. Not a lot of oak. A little bit of...
And I get a little cherry on that second one. Yep. Mid-palate to rear palate cherry. It's a full... It's fuller bodied than I remember. It's very... It's full bodied, but at the same time, there's a smoothness. It drinks a little bit smoother than a 93 proof.
Does it have smoothness?
Maybe it has boothness.
After I took my first sip and kind of shocked my palate a little bit with the taste on this one, going back to the nose, it really opens up that leathery smell. Still has the sweet cherries, a little bit of the fruitiness to it, but in that little lemon zest. But I get a little bit more on the leather on the smell after the first drink.
I like it. I get a little cinnamon on the end of the finish. Finish is multifaceted. It's like a hug, then it's like someone hugs you, lets you go, looks at you and hugs you again. It's like a double embrace. Like first there's embrace, looks at you to say something, and then hugs you again. And then has like a candy cane stuck in their hair.
What are you tripping on?
I'm smelling that cinnamon here. Peppermint. It's like a very, very
select over there.
It's like I get a cinnamon peppermint, like a candy cane. That's the final thing on the finish, and it's all in my throat, my chest, and also
I could see a little bit of the peppermint candy cane on the finish, but I don't know about it being stuck in someone's hair.
That's because when you embrace the second time,
maybe it's stuck in your beard.
I got stuff in there, but it's not candy canes. All right, it's
by
time.
By the way, this is a really nice
bourbon. It is. It's better. It's like I don't think I've actually I've tasted it, but not in a rating aspect. And then when we opened that bottle before, I don't think it was as good. And here is, I'm rolling the barrel over.
Okay, he's rolling it over. That must mean he's dropping the shout out on what the rating system is then, right?
No, that's you. I'm not going to fucking do that, you asshole. Just not.
All right, so the rating system here for our Scotchy Bourbon Boys is a barrel bashing of 16 bashes for the total score of the bourbon that we're tasting. We split it in four categories, which would be the nose, the taste, the body, and the finish. Within that scoring, we have what we call the butt up up, which is a special extra point towards one of the categories that we find phenomenal.
And we've abused the butt up up, but it's only supposed to be used in one category. Oh, okay. But sometimes it's so good. What?
To silence my phone.
Okay, that's no problem. I heard it, but I didn't.
Okay.
I'll pretend it didn't.
We're going to start with the nose on the Yellowstone Select.
I'm going to give the nose. I like the nose, but I'm going to give it a 2 because it is a little complex, but when you're complex with a rye spice on the front, I'm not a fan of rye. We all know that. I'm not dissing it. I like the cherry aspect. I love the citrus, and then it's a little complicated. If it didn't have the rye, I'd give it a 3. And if it wasn't this complex, I would give it a 1. So I give it a 2.
I almost concur. I give it a little bit up. I give it a 3 on the nose. Even though it does have a little bit of that rye spice in there, I'm not totally against rye. I really enjoy the fruity freshness of it. So I give it a 3.
All right, the taste. I enjoy this taste. This is actually pretty good. I'm going to come up to a 3 on the taste of this bourbon. Honestly, the cinnamony peppermint aspect of this, let's keep it through. There's a little bit of dark chocolate or maybe a little leather. It's right there on the thing, but the sweetness makes it more of a chocolate.
Well, the tasting notes from the Limestone Branch website says smoked caramel.
burnt caramel, maybe, but I'm going to go more. It's more chocolate to me.
Yeah. Okay. So you gave it a 3?
A 3.
The taste on this one is good. It's nothing overwhelming. It's nothing really. I'd say it's pretty well average. It does have some nice notes to it, so it doesn't drop it to a 1, but it stays at a 2.
All right. The body of this, it's a 93.
Yep.
It's nice. It's not a 4,
it's
but
very smooth.
It's close. It's between a 2 and a 3.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. I think the spiciness of it actually makes it a 3. I like the fact of how this drinks as a whiskey. You know you're drinking whiskey.
Yeah, it needs a little bit with as smooth and as subtle the flavors are, and it doesn't have a whole lot of heat, but it does have a little bit of that spice to it. I think that really enhances it and brings it up just a little bit.
All right, what are you giving it?
So you gave it a 3, right?
Yep, bash that barrel.
I would concur and give it a 3 also.
All right. So that brings us to the finish. I like this finish. I love the hug. Some people don't put the hug in the finish, but I put the hug in the finish. And if I didn't, I'd have to split half into the taste or the body and half into the finish. That is 100% because... So this finish... And finishes are on bourbons aren't always... exactly something. It's hard for me to rate a finish 3 or a 4, but I'm going to give this finish a 3. I did enjoy this finish. I like the cinnamon. It's a medium finish, but the cinnamon is just fantastic on this. So, with that said, I give it a 3, which takes my total score to an 11 out of 16.
Did you want water, Tiny?
Yeah, I do, but okay. Bash that barrel first, right. And then you can, and then tell me what you give it, and then when we start to the next one, you can give me water in the other glass.
The finish on this one is pleasant. It is not, again, like you'd said, it's not a big wow factor, but it has a little bit of a heat, it has a little bit of the sweetness from the beginning, but it lingers in the end with me with more oak than it does that dry oak taste. Not quite a leather, not quite a dark chocolate, but it's just right there on the basically a toasted oak, which is not bad, but I drop it to a 2.
So you were 2, 2.
10.
10 and I, 10 out of 16, and I get 11 out of 16. All right. That's pretty good. That's probably one of the better... this is a T44 batch. Now, I know that I'm going to give this shot. Well, I've already poured the next liquor barn. You could pour me some water there. And then I am going to read Jim Murray's 2020 whiskey. Now, he has some different bottles. There's no doubt about it. But when it comes to Yellowstone's Straight Select Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey, bursting at the seam with molasses and fruity rye, toned and leathery. Something the Yellowstone never was. And then he says, on another T22, bottle that was, basically the batches, 22 batches further along than what were, or behind what we were tasting, but classic licorice and hickory delivered with Manuka honey background. Excellent vanilla and spice still with that honey offering, weak but welcome pulse. Now, I got the honey out of the taste. That's the sweetness on the palate.
Yeah, I do remember you mentioning some honey there.
So he basically did... he gave it a 90.5 overall on all the different batches averaged out. He did definitely like the Yellowstone and some of the stuff. That's that, batch to batch, when you're talking batches, the goal of Yellowstone now is to basically keep the flavor profile consistent. And I think based off what he was reading on those earlier batches, it's pretty much consistent.
Which I mean, is good. It's not a bad taste. It's not a bad bourbon. I would definitely enjoy this bourbon.
Yeah, the first bottle of Yellowstone that we ever tasted was given to us by Jonesy. He purchased that. That was his bottle to bring. Now we've been that probably was a T22, you know. And then, but since then we've had a couple. I've had a couple more bottles. This is the third bottle that I'm going through.
Yep.
And I and then now the fourth bottle, which is this what we wanted to cover is that what that Yellowstone Select, the pros and cons. One, when you're mixing large amounts of barrels together to maintain a flavor profile, such as you do with Buffalo Trace or Jim Beam Black, you're mixing. It's not a small batch. It's large batch bourbons that they're trying to create a flavor profile when you go to the liquor store and you buy that bottle, you know what you're getting. That is something that was very important and what they tried to do and that they picked up, but then they realized in the 90s that the small batch and the intricacies also could be a very important thing that they've developed over the time. And so right now, these single barrel picks being done by groups, being done by whiskey groups, being done by church groups, and then also being done by restaurants, also being done by liquor stores and states. Now, we pick up here in Ohio, we get state picks. We don't get store picks, but you can get bar picks. Like for instance, the Winking Lizard goes down. They can't sell the bottles, but you can get their Winking Lizard barrel picks. And those are quite good because the Winking Lizard, the people going down picking those barrels know what they're doing. And they actually go to Kentucky.
Yep. It's the same with 35 Bricks. They have their own from, barrel pick from Maker's Mark.
And then bourbon is really picking up because even the place I eat lunch, Harmon's, today I looked at their bar. I always look at their bar while I'm eating lunch. I imagine that I could drink at lunch, but I never, ever do. But I'm looking, and all of a sudden I see Weller Antique 107, Colonel Taylor Small Batch. All of a sudden the top whole shelf of the bar that they had on the top shelf at the bar is bourbons, and it's that's like they used to have Woodford Reserve, Knob Maker's Creek, Mark. Maker's Mark, and Jim Beam, and then Jack Daniels and whatever. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing all these bourbons, and they're like, "That's new from last week." And I'm like, "And it's really going over well." I'm like, "No, duh." Yeah. I'm like, "How much is that Colonel Taylor?" They're like, $10 a pour. Okay, I'm coming back here because Colonel Taylor for $10 a pour is cheap as hell. Oh, we all know that. So I'll be going back there. But this is this bottle that we're going to chase now is the Yellowstone. This is a barrel select. It's called the Liquor Barn Barrel Number 2. It was a single barrel 7015828. It was picked 5115120. Oh, it was picked 5/15/2020. This is actually signed by Stephen Beam as the distiller. There's a little signature under there that you get. And then also, this is a five-year-old barrel. So we know the age because it's a single barrel. Now, this should not be anything like the flavor profile of Yellowstone that we just tasted because...
Based off of you almost hit the Glen Cairn there. There you go.
Which was in the Yellowstone spot, well, that's okay.
The Glen Cairn,
yes, it is. Where's my... Here's my water. I'm going to drink a little bit of water. I didn't break it.
And based off of the pre-nosing that I was doing while you were talking,
yes,
this does not have that rye spice flavor profile. I get a lot of bubblegum off the smell on this one.
Yes. I get a little bit of bubblegum. It's a sweeter. I do get a little bit of cherry.
Yeah, just a little bit.
A little ethanol.
Yeah, you have a little bit of ethanol, but it's not really that rye spice smell that you get. It's not really that vegetable-y, herbal smell.
You're right. All right. What is that? What is that? Holy shit. It's like...
Whoa.
That's like someone poured 2 cups of sugar in what we were drinking.
And some vanilla extract.
Vanilla. Vanilla? Wait, I got to think what that is.
Oh, that's candy in my mouth. Oh, I love that. Lately, I've been replacing my end-of-the-night snack with a nice little pour of some sweet bourbon. And wifey tells me, aren't you going to have snack? And I said, I am.
Yeah, and did you tell her that it's also medicine and that's healthy for you, just a pour a day?
And I joke around with her and I tell her, because she always tells me, are you going to brush your teeth? And I sanitize them with whiskey.
Try this. If you get a good cinnamon toothpaste, I have a cinnamon toothpaste all natural.
Yeah.
And then brush your teeth and then have your pour. Sometimes it turns it into a flavor bomb. I mean, you don't usually do that, but I wouldn't recommend what Al recommended.
Well,
do it.
Yeah, you might as well do it once. Come on. Now.
Yeah.
anyway, this taste on this single barrel store pick, this Liquor Barn knows what they're doing.
He was.
This is not the first Liquor Barn single barrel we picked that we were just like, oh my god.
Yeah, the Liquor Barn Old 55.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That single barrel. I'm going to tell you this. This tastes like Rice Krispies to me.
Ooh, that's a good one. Just that
marshmallow with the
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I totally get that.
Now, that's much fuller in your mouth.
But it's gone.
There's still a hug, but there's no double hug.
Nope.
And I'm getting a little bit of leather and
it's a more dry on the oak side.
Leather, oak.
It has a leathery taste. It's definitely not chocolate.
I think, yes.
It's like I just licked the leather seats in the Cadillac.
Or I chewed on my glove.
Or you chewed on your glove.
But what I'm going to say is I think this leather taste is there because it's so sweet on the front that it seems like the finish it's not a bitter finish,
no,
but it almost seems bitter because it's so sweet on the front. There's like the lack of sweetness on the, yeah, a nice hug.
I understand what you're saying, but it's not an unpleasant finish with that leathery, oaky dryness.
You're right.
So it's really good.
Right,
we gotta bash this one.
Yeah, let's bash it. You can go first on this one.
The nose on this one is totally different from the other one. It has the less of the rye spice. You get a little bit of the ethanol, but you get some sweet bubble gum in there, and a little bit of the cherry still in there. But you really lose that that lemon zest, that pop. But it's still deserves a 3 just because of that bubblegum uniqueness.
Well, I'll hit it 3. I'm starting to taste a little bit of bubblegum on the finish. The nose
yum.
Isn't quite as complex as the last one.
No.
But so the complexity of the last one's a 4, but it had that rye, so it took it down for me
to a
2. Yeah. Where this is a 3. It's really not as complex, but the rye is absent. So
yeah.
It's not a 4 complex, but it's a 3 complex. So I give it a 3.
All right, moving on to the taste. The taste on this one is the highlight of this bourbon, I would say. This taste is sweet. It is smooth. It is just
honey, like, and Rice Krispies.
Yeah, Rice Krispies with some honey, some marshmallow, vanilla, a little bit of caramel in there. But you don't really get any of the pepper. You don't get any rice spice. You don't get anything like that. It's just like candy in my mouth. So it is a 4 to me.
I'm going to give it a 4 too. It's not a butt up because, you know, butt ups are like when, but it's definitely, yeah, it's sweet. Yeah. Good job, Liquor Barn.
Now on to the body. So the body on this one is a little bit fuller. And in the glass, it essentially does the same thing. It'll stick to the sides.
The legs are a little thicker.
The legs start to come down. But
if you look at that, they're just a little thicker. They're long and a little thicker.
But what I'd like on this one also, the other one was a nice golden color. This one has
a little bit more amber.
A little bit more amber, a little bit more of a copper tone to it.
It's so, copper tone.
It's copper tone.
It's exactly this color of the suntan lotion, copper tone, brought to you this week by Spirit of French Lick and Copper Tone.
Though it has some differences to it, it still is a 3 in my opinion.
Why do you keep copying me?
Ah,
but 3.
I'm going first. You're copying me.
Yeah, but in my head, I've already said it, so you're copying me. I give it a 3 also.
All right, on to the finish. So, the immediate finish still has some slight sweetness to it, but it quickly goes into a leathery, but not a tobacco, not a bitter leathery, a little bit dry, like the Select, the Yellowstone Select, but it's not bad, not incredible. I'd drop it to a 2.
It's copycat.
No! Yeah.
I have to say it's a 2-2. It's not sweet enough. It's not sweet enough for a 3.
Right.
It just isn't. And that gives me a 13. Let's see. 12. A 12 out of 16.
And mine's the same because we pretty much had the same score on that.
Well, that was the popping of this limited edition. And I'm excited to get this in my glass.
All right. So while you're pouring the limited edition, I still have some more info here about Limestone Branch Distillery that
please drink the rest of your water out so you don't dilute this wonderful 20.
I have no water.
Okay, the water you've sucked out of the one glass. Which is the water? Give me the water glass so it doesn't mix.
This one here.
All right, you got it out of there.
All right, so Limestone Branch. This is a quick rundown of their process as far as what they distill at the Limestone Branch Distillery. So this is their 2 barrels a day that you had mentioned earlier. They have a mash bill of 75% corn, which they use a open pollinated white heirloom corn, which usually tends to have a lighter whiskey flavor, which probably describes that little smoother, less heat, less kick in the mouth kind of a feel. All of their grain is cooked in open stainless steel tanks. Their corn they cook at 200 degrees Fahrenheit, and they use a 3-degree temperature cooking method for their whiskey. So it doesn't depict what the temperatures go to when they drop it, but it starts at 200, they lower it, and then they introduce the rye, and then they lower it again to introduce the malted barley. After that, they add in the yeast, which the yeast is my fun fact for this, which is I thought was really cool. So once the yeast is added, the strain that they are using is actually a strain that Paul and Steven's great-grandfather and grandfather both used when they were distilling. The way they came across it was they had reclaimed the DNA of the strain from the inside of a yeast jug that was displayed at the Oscar Goetz Museum in Bardstown. It's claimed to have even deeper roots and was used, that same yeast strain was used by Guy Beam and Minor Case. Both part of the Beam Distillery lineage. Upon retrieving the hearts after they start to distill it, the Limestone Branch then enters their whiskey into new charred oak barrels at 100 proof or as close as possible as they can get it. So that is the quick rundown of their process to make whiskey.
Well, this limited edition is like in the it's a noticeable difference in your glass. Oh, yeah. It clings long. It's definitely the dark color of the barrel pick. It's about the same. It's got a little bit of, it's still yellow, not totally red, but the legs are thick legs running down my glass into the copper alloy color.
Yeah, this one definitely has a little bit more of a copper hue to it. A little bit more than the store pick.
Now this one, instead of rye on the nose, is pure frickin' fucking vanilla. It's almost like marshmallow. There's marshmallows in there. Oh my God, that is a, there's no ethanol in this.
I get a little, well, I do get a little bit of the ethanol, but I definitely get vanilla. But it, there's something else there, but I can't quite pinpoint it.
Try and pick it out the top. Oh my God. Now, if you shove your nose all the way in there, yes. And just, folks, we just opened this bottle. The other two bottles have sat. Yeah, so that's one thing. So this is freshly opened.
Freshly
cracked. Oh, there's cherry. It's cherry. I just picked it out.
There is a little cherry.
It's like vanilla cherry.
This is 101. Okay.
This is 101 proof.
Yep.
But it really clings. There's no doubt that the body in the glass is a thicker body. The nose is pretty good. It's kind of what I look for. You're talking about vanilla and cherry and a little bit of honey.
I definitely get some more on the caramel on this one too, whereas the others was definitely vanilla and some fruity, little oak. But this definitely has a little bit of caramel into
Holy shit. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, and wow.
All right.
Nice job, Steven. I'm not... So wow.
This, I actually have tasting notes and a little info of this particular batch, because this is the limited edition 2020 batch, which is 101 proof, like we mentioned already. The limited edition changes slightly from year to year, but the 2020 batch is aged 7 years, and that was finished in French Armagnac barrels.
You're right. That's right. That and that
finished in Armagnac barrels that gives a more of a rustic, full-bodied brandy flavor.
306 bottle. 306.
The Armagnac boosts flavors of toffee, butterscotch, and chocolate that pair well with the sweet flavors of the bourbon. On the nose, you get soft leather with hints of honeydew melon and chocolate.
I'm getting vanilla.
Yeah, I definitely
I get cherry. But sometimes the cherry can be the precursor to chocolate. So I'm still getting... It is chocolate.
Sweet with this. Maybe that's what I was smelling, was a little bit of that chocolate.
Now that he says chocolate... It's cherry, but there's a little chocolate. It's like a chocolate cherry, but I still get that vanilla on that front. Wow!
I get a fruity sweetness in it. I don't think it's cherry. I think it is probably leaning more towards the honeydew melon.
Okay,
and it's right at the top. You told me to go to the top, and there was something there, and it was not cherries, because cherries is like a dark, deep, bold flavor in this.
Yeah, but the flavor, I get the chocolate on the flavor. I get the front end.
Either way, this is damn good.
Front end grapes. Oh my God. It's so sweet. And the finish, it's smooth, and for 101,
ooh,
it's so full bodied. It's
I get that butterscotch taste on this.
Yeah.
One.
Butterscotch on the front,
oh, yeah.
But the finish is like pure out not milk chocolate, dark chocolate. And it's
dark
not
chocolate and cherries.
Yep.
Yeah.
But butterscotch and caramel on the front.
On the front, right?
And then the mouth, even the finish involves the body. The body is merged with the finish on this.
Yep.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right, let's barrel bash this.
Okay. Let's barrel bash it. All right.
Because we only got a couple more minutes.
What you got? Nose in it.
I'm going to give the nose. For me, the nose is.
Because I already know what my nose is.
I'm going to give the nose a 4. Because it definitely has enough bot. It's complex as hell. It's sweet. It's got different types of things going on. Every time you nose it, you get something else. So I'm going to give it a 4.
The nose on this one for me isn't quite a 4 just because it is a little complex. So it's kind of hard to pick things out. But it is still very sweet.
I just picked up cinnamon.
It has a nice balance of sweet and spice with a little bit of ethanol. It has that fruitiness to it, but it still only gets a 3.
All right. Taste. I'm going to go first on these two, and then you go first on the next two.
Okay. Sounds
but the good. Taste, I'm going to give a 4 because there's not much more of a sweeter bourbon than this. I mean, it's so sweet. It's what I want in a bourbon. It's got some butterscotch. It's got some chocolate. It's got cherries. It's just, but it's sweet. And it's like, that's what I love in a bourbon. And, you know, when you're drinking a dessert, you got to give it a 4.
I would agree with the 4 on the taste. The sweetness up front, mid palate goes chocolate, and then the end goes vanilla and caramel. So it's like, you get a nice candy, and then you get another candy, and then you have some bourbon at the end, which is just incredible. So I gave it a 4.
All
right, so on to the body.
Yep, that's you. No, that's you.
This body is, without a doubt, full-bodied.
Yeah.
It is total mouthfeel. It clings into the glass very well. It has nice, thick, long legs. And the mouthfeel on this is just pleasant. It's creamy. It is not hot, but it's creamy and sweet. So I really, really like this body. So I give it a 4.
You didn't copy me.
No, I didn't.
So, you didn't, because I'm going to give it a 4 also, because I've never had the body transfer to the finish. The finish has a body. That's a first for me.
Right.
It never, mostly a whiskey will transfer its body and flavor to another bourbon, to the finish, where the finish becomes the finish. Well, the body's still in the finish. So I give it a 4 with a butt up up.
But up,
up.
But up. All right. So the finish for me is incredible. I really like this finish. It has a nice long finish as far as flavor. It has a nice medium finish as far as heat and warmth. But I would prefer the flavor to be longer than the heat and warmth. So this finish deserves a 4.
That made no sense.
Why did it not?
You ripped it because you preferred it not to be, and then you gave it a 4. So if it would have been the other way around, you would have given it a 4 with a but up up. Is that what you were saying?
If it would have been the other way around, I would have only gave it a 3.
Oh, it was the right way.
Right.
I took it that you said it was the wrong way.
No. I preferred it to be a longer flavored finish rather than a longer heat finish.
This bottle was worth every freaking cent, in my opinion. And you gave the finish a 4, right?
Correct.
Because the finish is still going, it's long,
yes.
It's sweet.
Yes.
Those are my two number one things.
Yep.
I have to give it, there's nothing about it that I can give it a three. I have to give it a four. I want to give it a three, but I have to give it a four. So I give it a four. So I give it a four. So you gave this bourbon a 15 out of 16.
Correct.
And I gave it a 17 out of 16. It is up there. It proves that if you pay a little more for bourbon, sometimes you get what you get when you analyze it. Now, I didn't, when I was tasting it there, when I wasn't in a tasting setting, I didn't get quite the flavors that I was getting here. I didn't, it did not impress me the way that this actual bottle impresses me. And I'm waiting. I can't wait to let it sit for a little bit and see what happens to it, because this is a really good bottle of bourbon. Oh, there's yeah. no doubt about it.
Give it some time to breathe.
All right.
All right, Tiny.
I know.
You're going to have to lead us out here.
Yep. And you could mention a couple places, just remind everybody what they need to do, and I will start the fun.
Okay, go for it. So, again, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. If you enjoyed what you heard, if you want to continue to get all the newest updates, please subscribe to this podcast. We are everywhere that you can listen to podcasts. Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google, Amazon, Pandora, anywhere that you can listen to podcasts.
Or show me the way also, to the next whiskey bar.
Check out our website at www.scotchybourbonboys.com. There don't you can ask access why. Pretty much anywhere show we are at.
The way to the next whiskey bar.
If you want some really cool
stuff. Don't ask why. Don't ask why. But if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Drink responsibly and remember, good bourbon with good friends
and good times.